Welcome, everyone. This is our third webcast in a series that we've been doing that we call Success with Enterprise Mobility, where we're diving into what we think the core aspects and the most important things organizations need to be thinking about as they're defining their company-wide or enterprise mobility strategy. In this episode, I'm joined by Alex Simons. Alex is one of the industry experts on identity and identity management. And together, Alex and I, we run the teams at Microsoft that oversee all of our identity, our device management, application management. And so Alex and I get to spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
You know, and just to kind of do a refresher, in the first episode, we focus on the work that we've done across identity, management, and productivity, specifically Azure Active Directory, Office, and Intune, and how we enable secure mobile productivity. The second episode, we focus on what we're seeing as this convergence of both device management and PC management. So we talked about the integration we've done across Config Manager and Intune. In this episode, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about identity and the importance of identity. You know, as we look at what's happening around the world, one of the things we definitely see is this acceleration of cyber attacks. And certainly over Christmas, as we watched what happened with Sony, you know, we all watched that with horror. And what we wanted to talk about is some of the things that we've been investing in that help organizations understand when they're under attack and then block it.
Yeah, well, so Brad, in the world of cloud and devices, right, one of the things I hear from companies all the time is they're looking for the control plane, the thing that lets them kind of get back to the world they almost had 15 years ago, where they knew where all their PCs were and the servers were in their labs, and they ran an Active Directory and just kind of were able to have the whole, their whole kind of compute universe.
It's kind of contained.
Contained, yeah. And that's really fallen apart with the world of cloud and services and kind of like rogue IT, where people are storing their documents on Dropbox and working with Salesforce.com, and company data is out on all of these different devices, and they're really kind of asking themselves, I want to take advantage of that world of cloud and devices and the productivity and the agility it would bring, but how do I do it in a way that's compliant and has auditing and where I can tell the board of directors, you know what, we're safe.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. You know, the world for IT is getting more and more complex every single day. And it's really interesting to kind of, you know, kind of even reflect back on history a little bit. If you take a look at like 15 years ago when Windows Server 2000 came out with Active Directory, the problems that it solved was it brought identity under control for the whole corporation. And then it provided this great single sign-on experience, but access and authorization was all managed by one directory called Active Directory. And history is repeating itself. You know, if you look at what drove those initial deployments of Active Directory, it was email with Exchange 2000 and management with group policy.
Yeah.
And today, you know, I say history is repeating itself because what's driving the adoption of Azure Active Directory is email, which is Office 365,
yep,
and management, the Enterprise Mobility Suite.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people really adopt these kinds of technologies because of the applications and scenarios they enable. Right, so the on-premise, the identity really was driven by the move to Exchange and the move to group policy to control your PCs. In the cloud, what we're seeing is people try to extend that identity control plane. And that's how I talk about it is, look, you had a control plane on-premise, you want to extend it out to the cloud to do these new things. And the first set of scenarios that they want to do in the cloud are things like Office 365 and managing mobile devices. And having that identity control plane in place so that you can use the same sets of users and groups and policies in both is a huge advantage, right? And then you use identity in the cloud as the way to know that, look, this user, I know who they are and I trust them. They're on a device that we know that device. It gave us a certificate that proved it was the right device. And we know that it's in a good health state and it's compliant, right? And those things then combined with a whole bunch of other data that we have in the cloud from all the different services at Microsoft, we can take and help you make really great decisions about should that user on that device be able to get access to this corporate piece of information in the cloud or not.
And one of the most interesting things that we've seen over the last, you know, I'd say 6 months, is the acceleration towards the cloud and the acceleration towards these SaaS apps. You know, in our second quarter earnings that we announced in January, the things that I pulled out of those earnings release that I thought were the most important were, you know, first of all, we talked about the fact that our commercial cloud business is in a $5.5 billion run rate. But to me, the most interesting part about what we talked about was in our Q2, 45% of all Office renewals, 45%, opted to go to Office 365. So that's literally almost half of, you know, everyone in the world uses Office, and everybody who's renewing their contracts with us, half of those decided to go to the cloud.
Yeah. No, I mean, the cloud is happening now. Like every morning I come into my office, and the first thing I load up is a dashboard that shows me, okay, how are we doing? How many new customers have we added? So, you know,
overnight.
Overnight even, yeah. So I checked this morning, you know, and there are now 4.5 million organizations in the world that are using Azure Active Directory as a way to access some Microsoft cloud service or a third-party cloud service, right? And those organizations have over 430 million million users that they've entered into the directory and are using for those kinds of purposes, right? So it's definitely here and happening now, right? And we're finding that as companies move there, they really start to understand the value of having this identity control plane. And so, for instance, with all the data we collect from those users coming in, from all the data we collect from Office, we put that all into a big machine learning system, right? And now we can start to track people's usage and really understand what looks like normal usage. So like you coming in and logging in the morning, well, that's pretty normal usage, right? But if all of a sudden we saw your account logging in the middle of the night and trying to access like 30 apps all at the same time, our machine learning system can catch that and flag it for the IT department to let them know, hey, maybe you should go check that out.
Say something's odd here, we should check at it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you shared one time that Azure Active Directory is doing how many billion authentications a day?
We do multiple billions of authentications a day. And our biggest week ever, we did 18 billion authentications. That was a particularly big week for new customers moving into Exchange.
Yeah. It used to be in all of the, you know, the executive briefings we would do here, there would be a level of resistance to moving to the cloud. And people, you know, would I think, arguably so, and rightfully so, ask, so what gets moved to the cloud in terms of identity? And I have concerns maybe about the passwords being in the cloud. And what we have found is this is an education issue. And once we sit down with the organizations and help them understand, for example, to use Office 365 or the Enterprise Mobility Suite, what we actually move to the cloud is very, very little.
Yeah, and we give companies a lot of choices in terms of how they, what level of data they want to move and the pace that they want to move it at. So let me give you an example. So we have 20,000 companies around the world today who, because of their specific industry requirements and security concerns, keep their passwords on-premise and use ADFS as their federation server to hook up to the cloud.
So AAD kind of becomes the edge of the Active Directory, and the authentication all occurs against the local Active Directory. So the password's never in the cloud.
Exactly. The password stays on-premise. You know, they feel good about their risk profile. But we have 50,000 organizations that are now synchronizing encrypted copies of their passwords up into our cloud and giving users an SSO experience that way, right? And then what happens there is it's a much lower cost thing than trying to run your ADFS servers on-premise. So that's been very, very popular. But we give people lots of different options there. They can look and see exactly what data we're copying to the cloud. In fact, you can get started in our cloud with only 4 attributes per user. So you can really clamp down if you're concerned about your security or you just want to get started in kind of a lightweight way and then grow from there.
And then what we find is once an organization, you know, is educated, they're made aware, and they have the internal conversations, they start using one service, they start wanting to use more and more. And it's remarkable how once they get that taste or once they get that experience of how nice and how efficient and how agile they can be, these services, the pace at which they want to use more.
Yeah. Once you've done the work of getting that identity control plane in place, you set up and you have a set of managed devices that you're happy with and they're in good health state, then adding new capabilities becomes a very, very fast thing, right?
That's right. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, maybe let's spend some time now talking specifically about, you know, we've talked about the importance of identity and how it really is foundational to our enterprise mobility strategy and vision. And, you know, we believe that it should be the foundational corner piece that every organization should be thinking on. As we look at the world today and the consumerization trends, you know, we see users bringing in their personal apps into work, and they're using those personal apps for work as well.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of risk does that introduce, and how do we help organizations actually get a view of that, understand what the risk is, and then bring a level of kind of management into it?
And that's definitely what I was talking about with the rogue IT idea, right? The idea that, look, we know that people, when they're at home, in fact, it's kind of funny, at home it's much easier for me to share terabytes of video data of the girls playing volleyball with my mother than it is for us at work to share a document with each other.
Yeah.
Right? So people get that experience of how easy it is to share and collaborate on the web and how easy it is to do business together, and they want to be able to do that at work.
And they get frustrated because the tools at work aren't as agile.
No, absolutely. They don't move as fast. They're not as open. They're not as easy to use, right? So they start wanting to use these things at work. So yeah, it's not uncommon to find, in fact, in almost every company we talk to, everybody's using Dropbox, they're using OneDrive, they're using Box. Right? It's a great way to share files between companies.
I think I read somewhere that 92% of organizations actually know that their users are breaking their data protection policies by using some of these consumer solutions.
Yeah. In fact, every company I talk to, one of the first questions they ask is, okay, well, I know I have rogue IT all over the place, and I know I have lots of users out using these cloud services, but which ones do they use?
Yeah.
Right, and that's why we built the Cloud App Discovery Service. Right, it was a way for us to give enterprise IT a way to check and basically start building the catalog of here's all the services that my people are using, and then make some really informed, intelligent decisions about which ones of those do I want to endorse and kind of bring into my corporate compliance and management regime, right? And which ones do I want to say, you know what, that is just so risky. I'm going to give you a good alternative to it that's really easy to use and widely available, but doesn't have the risk characteristics of this.
Yeah, I think this has actually been one of the most interesting and fun projects that we've ever worked on. You know, what we've built in this in preview right now is an ability for us to go out and we collect logs, we kind of watch what users are doing, and then we present to IT a list that says, here's all the SaaS apps that your users, your employees are using inside your organization. And for almost every organization, it's the first time they've ever had a chance to see that view.
Yeah. In fact, for most people, it's shocking. You know, you talk to the CSO or the chief security officer, somebody like that, they feel like, well, you know, I probably have 30 or 40 apps that people are using in my organization.
Between 300 and 400 apps are what we generally find SaaS apps are being used in the enterprise. I think one of the most fun things on this has been to see the faces of the individuals, the leaders at the companies, when we show them that report for the first time.
It's pretty shocking.
It is, and they're like, wow, you know, I had no idea. Okay, so discovery is a really important part because you need to be able to understand what your users are using.
Yep.
Okay, and we go through, for example, and do things like we identify risk levels. We actually kind of give a rating of risk to each one of the SaaS apps. Now that I understand what SaaS apps are being used, is there a way that I can bring them under management?
Yeah, so that's the next step after Cloud App Discovery is for every application that's being used, we can show you, is it something that can be easily managed with Azure Active Directory? Yeah. And then through a very simple process, a couple of clicks, we can help you bring it in and get it set up so that it's using your identity control plane, right? And that when users log in, they're using their corporate credentials, and that you now have the ability to essentially manage that app well and make sure that the users who need access to it can get access to it. But when someone leaves your company, you can turn off access right away.
I think this is one of the teams, you know, that we work with that has just been incredibly focused on the customer and incredibly focused on delivering the value. You know, if you think about what people have used Active Directory for years, it's one to give a central access authoritative source, and second to give that great single sign-on experience to users so as they traverse from one server or one service to another, they're not constantly asked for their username and password.
Yeah.
We're recreating that, if you will, in the cloud as we stretch Active Directory to the cloud with Azure Active Directory with this thing called Azure Active Directory Premium, which is one of the components of the Enterprise Mobility Suite.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, in the cloud, it's probably more important to make sure that your usernames and passwords are well protected, right? And so you don't want them scattered all over the place because people use the same username and passwords frequently. Right? So when one service gets breached and the username and passwords leak from there, it's really easy to go for an attacker to go replay those against a bunch of services. And unfortunately, they get a lot of access because of it. Mm-hmm. Right? So what you really want is you want all of your identity in a really well-managed, closely watched service, right? And then just using federation, we sign people into all these different applications without ever exposing their credentials.
And the number of applications that the team has done the work on, to me, is mind-boggling. We've now integrated more than 2,400 different SaaS apps into this. So once the user authenticates in the morning and they give in their valid username and password, which is their email username and password, they get that great single sign-on experience to over 2,400 and growing applications.
Yeah, in fact, today we have over 2,400 that we have integrated with. There are another 4,000 custom line of business apps that customers have written that are integrated with the directory, and then another 1,000 SaaS applications that ISVs have integrated with the directory. So that whole catalog of applications now every day uses Azure Active Directory as that identity control plane and gets out of the business of having to worry about how they protect usernames and passwords.
Another one of the, I think, the killer scenarios that Azure Active Directory Premium delivers is this ability to automate the user provisioning. You know, and that's what we've used Active Directory for years for. You know, and the scenario here is organizations want to be able to create the employee in the HR database. That gets created in Active Directory. Then they want it to automatically be created in all the different SaaS apps that the user is going to use. But maybe more importantly, when an employee leaves a company for whatever reason, they want to make sure access to all the SaaS apps that they've been using is disabled as well.
One of our largest customers here in the Northwest, they're a very large retailer, right? The biggest thing they use Azure Active Directory Premium for is to provision users out into cloud applications, right? And that way the user can get in, can get it to the work assignments that they need. Yeah. And then when the employee leaves the company,
cut off.
It's cut off. And for them, they're a retailer, so a huge part of their resource every year, sure, comes about October 15th and leaves about January 15th, right? So this is a very intensive process for them to do manually. We automated the entire thing for them this Christmas.
It's just, again, a wonderful example of, I think, a set of engineers listening to what customer needs are and then developing that. Because now, for the first time, you want to enable your users to use all those SaaS apps, but IT also has the level of control about the identities and who has access and when access is cut off. I think it's just, it's wonderful. It's, in many ways, it's kind of the modern meta directory in the cloud.
Yeah, it's really kind of combining what was traditionally on-premise, the meta directory and the identity management system and the directory all into one offering.
And now with all of that information that we're storing, we're managing access and signing on users through Azure Active Directory, this is where I think it's most interesting, because all of that creates logs, it creates telemetry. We're able to take all that information, marry it with other pieces of information from across Microsoft, and give views and value to organizations that they've never seen before.
That's right. I mean, it's incredible the amount of data that we're collecting, right? And then the interesting views we can turn it into. We can show you who used which applications when, which devices they were using them on, where they came from, you know, whether they were logging in from Los Angeles or from Taipei. We can show you this incredible world of data. But I think what's more interesting than just the visualizations of the data is when we take those into the machine learning system and we can show you things that you could probably never find. So for instance, if you logged in from Los Angeles now and then 2 hours later tried to log in from Taipei, we would know you can't travel that far in that amount of time.
Unless I'm Superman.
Right? Unless you're Superman, right? And so we would notify the IT guy, hey, this login from Taipei or Los Angeles, one of those two has got to be bad. And then we could offer the IT department something like, let's force you to MFA the next time you log in, or let's suspend your account till we find out what's going on, or let's cut off your access to an important application.
And I think what's really interesting about this is, let's kind of put this in the context of a bunch of these cyber attacks that we've seen. You know, as we've, you know, dug into many of these cyber attacks with these customers, what we find is often what happens is the bad guys launch a phishing attack against the corporation. Maybe they're phishing against IT or the finance department. And all it takes is one person to fall for the phishing attack, and then they voluntarily have given the bad guys or the bad organizations their username and their password. And the bad guys are coming right in through the front doors, right in through a valid username and through a valid password. How would IT know that that is happening if they're not using a solution like what you just described?
No, it's really hard. It's because it looks like a valid user, you really have to have a machine learning approach that is able to check the behavior of that user and recognize that there's something abnormal about it. It's coming from a weird place, or it's doing weird things, or it's on a device that you've never seen before. You can't do it just by looking at, oh, well, this user credential was valid.
You know, kind of give it like an example of what many people may have seen in their personal lives. You know, a couple months ago, we took the family and went down to Mexico. Well, the bank, you know, saw that all of a sudden my credit cards were being used in Mexico and blocked it, if you will. It's a similar kind of a methodology. And this is one of those cases where there's unique value that we can deliver because we're doing this as a cloud service rather than on-premise. Now, theoretically, everybody could stand up a bank of hundreds of servers that would do this machine learning and have it running in their data centers. But most organizations just can't afford to do that. Yeah. So in Azure, we're able to spin up, you know, an infinite number of VMs and an infinite number of capacity that allows us to take all of that telemetry, all that log. We then feed in things like travel times. We feed in other information like we take data from the fraud attacks that we see against Xbox Live. We take in feeds from our anti-malware. We marry all that information together. That data set is very unique to what Microsoft can provide.
Yeah, it's a really unique asset that we have in that these billions and billions of data points every day feed our machine learning systems and our algorithms and let us pinpoint very fine-grained problems that you probably could not see if you were just looking at data from one company, right? And we're doing that, as you're saying, in Azure in these giant banks of services and servers in a way that really only maybe the top 10 financial institutions in the world ever had access to before. Now we can really bring it to every company in the world.
And again, this is one of those examples where, as I think about where a lot of the value is going to be created and where value is at in the future, a lot of it's in the data. And so I think as organizations are identifying their enterprise mobility strategy and their plans, I think they need to ask themselves the question, which of the providers out there that I could go with are going to have access to data sets that they could combine and give me insights and analysis that nobody else can? And as I look around, for example, as I look at the enterprise mobility management vendors, as I look at the other identity as a service vendors, nobody has the kind of data and therefore that we have, and therefore nobody can deliver the kind of insights that we just described.
Yeah, I mean, a big, huge machine learning system without data in it is kind of like throwing the Super Bowl and the teams never come.
Great analogy. So let's talk a little bit more about you know, the kinds of reports that we have from machine learning, and then talk about the things that we, how we can help organizations then block the attacks.
Yeah.
So first of all, you know, you talked about what we call, you know, this user login from multiple geographies where it's physically impossible to do that travel. But there's other reports, like reports that we get as we combine our anti-malware in with this identity management. Give us an example of that.
Well, so there's a lot of different reports like that, but one of my favorites is the one you're referencing. Not only can we show you that this is a device that maybe that user hasn't logged into before, we can show you that, in fact, it was infected and that maybe it's under the control of a botnet, right? Or we can show you things like a time series for this user and every time they logged in, and sometimes they're logging in and it's just fine, and other times they're logging in from an infected machine. We can show you the IP address and the name of that machine so that maybe you can go find it in your corporation, right, and get whatever it's infected with off.
And then, you know, we take information, for example, the attacks that we see from a fraud perspective, and we know that a lot of the world's fraud comes from a finite number of places.
Yeah.
And we know who those people are. We know what those addresses and things are. So as we combine that data set, we can also do the same thing where we can say, you know, you've got a user who's working on a device that is communicating with the bad guys that you may or may not know it.
Yeah, and that's a particularly tricky area that we're very good at. Because of the Microsoft account system, which is also in our identity team, we have 450 million user accounts that are logging in and doing things like purchases on Xbox or buying apps from the Windows Store, right? And so we see lots and lots of different IP addresses constantly trying to get into that system. And we've built a great real-time system that now protects that and Azure Active Directory. So it sees as IP addresses become infected or they get taken over by botnets, we can block them instantaneously, and then when they stop using it, we can open back up again and let those IP addresses be free.
That's another one of those wonderful examples of taking, you know, Microsoft invests in both consumer and enterprise, you know, capabilities, and it's a great example of combining both of those. It gives a view that is very unique value to customers.
That's right.
Okay, so let's talk about how we then block us. We raise these alerts to the IT department, and in the future they'll all be automated. You can take action on them.
Very soon.
But in terms of then what can the IT do, and how does that get reflected to the end user? Let's talk about the end user experience when IT says, I think there's something suspicious here.
Yeah.
I want to go verify that, you know, Brad is who Brad says he is.
Yeah. Well, the most common thing IT does, and we give them options on every screen, but the most common option that they choose is to turn on multi-factor authentication. And usually that is just you getting a text message that says, hey, Brad, we'd like you to make sure to use this code the next time you log in.
Yeah. Right? So the user gets a dialogue that says, hey, call us paranoid, but we want to verify that, Brad, you are who you say you are. We just sent your phone a 6-digit PIN, give us that, and they're off and running.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it could be things like, you know, what's your mother's maiden name, or, I mean, there's different
kinds of security gates we can
use. Got it. And so it really is not intrusive to the end user. And in fact, like when I see that kind of thing, like I log in on Facebook on a PC that I've never been on before, I actually get that challenge. I appreciate the fact that the back-end service is looking out for me and protecting me. And this is that exact same scenario. So the key thing here is I think that we make it very easy for IT to take action. It's very easy for the end user to understand, you know, what's happening, and very easy for them to get past it if they're the valid people.
Yep.
But if you've got an account that's been phished and you've got somebody who's now trying to use that account to attack a company, you challenge them with a multi-factor authentication, they're blocked.
Yeah, that's right.
And you just stop the attack. Okay? That is the kind of solution that we're talking about here as we think about identity being core to that foundation of your enterprise mobility strategy.
That's right. In some cases, you want to block them right away. In some cases, in fact, you want to watch what they're doing and observe more closely to figure out what kind of thing they're actually trying to get to in your corporation. So there's a lot of different options available, but we really want to support your security personnel as they're going through and figuring out, okay, what's the right thing to do with this new attack that we've just noticed?
And so that is, I think, if I were to really talk to what I think is the most critical aspect of the enterprise mobility strategy that every company should be identifying, planning, and implementing, identity has to be the first building block. Then you build on top of that for these reasons. Identity is going to be the most important aspect of anything that an organization is going to do. It's more important than it's ever been in history. You think about a world where devices are exchangeable, they're interchangeable, they're replaceable. The one thing that's constant is the user identifying themselves on that device and authenticating themselves. The one thing that's consistent on all the SaaS apps that are going to be used is that user identity.
Exactly.
So IT needs to have control of that identity. They need to be aware of when something looks suspicious and being able to take action on it. And that has got to be the centerpiece.
Yeah, I think it is the centerpiece of a IT strategy that's compliant and secure in the world of cloud and devices. Without it, you're kind of fishing in the wrong pond.
And again, Microsoft is very unique in our ability to deliver this for customers. You really have got to be the organization that's operating the identity service. and building the identity service in order to get this kind of insight.
Yeah. In fact, that's what our customers tell us. 95% of customers of large companies in the world use Active Directory on-premise.
That's right.
For them, the natural choice is to extend this to Azure Active Directory in the cloud. And I think we have some unique skills and capabilities in terms of understanding how enterprises really use identity on-premise and how they want to extend those up into the cloud to realize all these cool new scenarios.
So the way that organizations actually get a hold of all this technology is through something we call the Enterprise Mobility Suite. You know, the Enterprise Mobility Suite has three components in it. The first is Azure Active Directory Premium, and that's where all this machine learning and all this, you know, multi-factor authentication challenges and this modern meta directory, the SaaS management, all that's delivered through Azure Active Directory Premium.
Hey.
We have Azure RMS, which we're going to talk about
in the
podcast. And then we have what's called Microsoft Intune, and that's our mobile device management, mobile application management solution.
Like,
and what we've done is we've married all those together in some very unique ways. So let's
Alex,
just kind of maybe
VMware's acquired this company called
Imidio,
I-M-M-I-D-I-O,
totally around
security with BYO.
Smart choices about which user on which device using which application should be able to get to your data. Right, so the best example of that today is all the new set of work that our teams have done together with Office to give you really cool applications like Word, PowerPoint, and Excel on your iPad, right, inside of an Intune managed device, right, in a way that the data is secure, and then we use conditional access to check, is this device in a good health state, has it been cracked, things like that, and before we let it get to the Office 365 service and start getting to data, it has to pass all those criteria. Right? And so that unique combination of Intune managing the device and keeping it in a good health state, getting the correct applications installed in a way where the data is secure, and then Azure Active Directory on the back end kind of making those conditional access choices in a smart way before letting you get access to a cloud app, that combination really lets you realize the full scenario.
I guess a great view into what we're going to be spending an hour on in the next webcast is this concept of layers of protection and how you want to have this defense in depth solution and provide multiple layers of protection. All right, so let's kind of wrap up here and we'll start taking questions in a couple of minutes. But if I were to summarize what we've talked about, every organization is seeing these cyber attacks that are happening around the world. And one thing that we know for sure is they're going to accelerate, they're going to get nastier, and there's going to be more of them. With that in mind, as you think about an enterprise mobility strategy, identity and identity management has got to be at the core and the foundational that everything is built on. We believe at Microsoft, with the assets that we have with Active Directory, Azure Active Directory, we have a unique view, a unique perspective, and then leveraging the cloud and the machine learning that comes from the cloud, we can give insights that identify these attacks, enable IT to block them, which is all about helping keeping the company secure. And we think we're unique in our ability to do this.
Yeah, no one else in the world has the data sets or the kinds of cloud applications and services that we do that make this possible.
Thank you for spending the last 30 minutes with us as we've focused on why identity should be a core part of your enterprise mobility strategy. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes. Alex and I are going to be taking your questions live. And one suggestion, while we're answering questions, please go and register for webcast number 4, which will be March the 3rd, and we're going to talk about the different layers of protection that we provide through the Enterprise Mobility Suite in Office 365. Thanks again for your time.
So thanks everyone for joining today's Success with Enterprise Mobility webcast. In the interest of not wasting any time, let's just start the Q&A section of this right now. I'm joined here by both Brad and Alex. So guys, thanks for taking the time to do the webcast and for taking the time to have some questions now.
Well, I just want to say thank you for everyone spending the last 30 minutes on this. You've had great attendance. It's exciting to see everybody's on this.
So in a webcast like this that is so focused on security, you guys talked a lot about being able to see the logs and seeing these trends that are identifying suspicious behavior. So what actions can be taken once you figure out that, or once an IT person has seen some strange log activity, what actions can they take once they identify that?
So how much do you think this, Alex?
Yeah, so hi, this is Alex. Right now, the activities, the actions they can take are pretty prescribed. So you can disable the user, you can turn on MFA for that user, you can go do a whole bunch of research and see what the heck is going on, or things like that. Very soon, we'll turn on a much more rich capability to basically build policies that will be able to prompt that user for additional access or security questions or things like that. But today, it's hey, turn on MFA the next time that user logs in, or turn the user off, or watch and investigate for more information.
Yeah, and let me just add on a little bit of that as well. You know, one of the other questions that we're looking at here is around multi-factor authentication. How common should organizations think about this? Should it be something that's on all the time? And I'll tell you at least what we're doing here at Microsoft, that might give you some interesting perspectives. As Alex and I talked about, so many of these cyber attacks that we've seen really come down to the root of them being a successful phishing attack. And, you know, what we're implementing right now at Microsoft is basically at a regular cadence, a kind of a regular interval, are going to just pop up a multi-factor authentication challenge to all of our users, just from the hygiene perspective of, you know, if you take it and you assume that someone in your organization has been compromised, that regular check or that regular validation of that user authenticating again through a second factor is one really critical way to secure your environment. And again, you know, we talked about you can have two cultures in your environment, in your company, one that assumes you've not been compromised and one that assumes you have. If you have a culture that assumes that you have been compromised, things like on a regular instance, whether it's once a week, once a month, actually challenging users for that multi-factor authentication, and, you know, it kind of accomplishes a similar thing to changing your password at a more frequent rate. But doing that would actually block these attacks that we've seen just so commonly in the industry right now.
So then, with that in mind, how does this mobility suite, the enterprise mobility suite in particular, work in conjunction with existing MDM or EMM providers like that are out there? And what are the benefits? And what benefits does this offer over those kinds of solutions?
Yeah, it's a great question. I appreciate the question on this one. You know, as we think about this world of enterprise mobility management, we think about needing to have multiple layers of protection. And in fact, this is what Alex and I are going to spend the webcast on March the 3rd talking about, is these multi-layers of protection. So we think you need to protect at the device layer, at the application layer, at the file layer, and then at the identity layer. We spent the bulk of today talking about the last of those, the identity layer. We are the only solution on the market that provides protection at all four of those layers. The other MDM or EMM solutions, like the MobileIron, the AirWatch, you know, they can protect at the device level and they can protect at the application level or layer, but they can't. They don't have assets that allow them to protect at the file or at the identity. So as we think about this enterprise mobility suite or EMS, we think about it as covering all four of those. And so the organizations that we see implementing this are using all four of those layers and quite honestly are moving away from the MobileIron and the AirWatches. You know, one kind of perspective to put on this is a market that is moving so fast, so rapidly. There's so much innovation. I'll tell you, as an engineer, it's just a lot of fun to be working in this particular segment. But I'll tell you, what was state-of-the-art a year ago is table stakes today. And I think many organizations made purchase decisions on what was state-of-the-art a year ago, and I would classify some of these organizations as having been that. But now as you think about these other layers of protection at the identity layer, at the file layer, I think Microsoft is unique in our ability to do this, and I think we've just really innovated in a way that nobody else in the industry really can right now. But that's the answer in terms of can others do this in the industry? No. Does this integrate with the AirWatch and the MobileIron? No.
Well, here's another question regarding that kind of password protection. It says here, if I have single sign-on in the cloud, don't I also have a risk because then if our password is hacked, the person will have access to all of our on-prem and SaaS apps?
Alex, can you take that one?
Yeah, sure. So customers make a lot of different choices here depending on their security concerns. The first thing I should start with is pointing out that all of your passwords, whether they're on-premise or in the cloud, are stored encrypted. So in an ADE on-premise, it's a hash-salted password that's stored in your ADE on-premise. In the cloud, in fact, we use a more advanced algorithm because it's newer in the cloud, and it's harder to hack. And so even if we leaked your username and password, you know, a whole bunch of usernames and passwords, they're in a useless form. It would take so I saw a calculation recently that to hack the algorithm we're using would take somewhere on the realm of 100 years with a set of compute power that would use all the compute power in the world. So if you're storing your passwords in the cloud, you can be sure that they are completely safe and that we take that very seriously. However, we do have customers who are uncomfortable with storing their usernames and passwords in the cloud. And so for those customers, they use Federation instead. So they use a Federation server like Active Directory Federation server on-premise or CA SiteMinder or any of a number of other Federation servers. And Azure Active Directory and the whole EMS suite work great with all of those different kind of traditional Federation servers. So if a customer wants the option and is concerned about it, we certainly can support it. However, I can be certain and assure our customers that the encryption we use in the cloud, if anything, is advanced enough that it's far, far more secure than what's available anywhere on-premise.
Okay, Alex, and here's another question for you looking ahead. It says, will Windows 10 be needed for some of the Azure AD management capabilities that you're describing, and will management be different for other platforms like iOS and Android?
So it's an interesting question. The management capabilities are all covered by the MDM solutions. So depending on which MDM you are using, so if you're using Intune, right, obviously each platform exposes a different set of APIs that allow for management of the device. And so let's take the case of Intune. So Intune takes advantage of the full breadth of the Android and iOS capabilities there. But the thing that's unique about Intune is it registers that application in the directory and puts a certificate onto the device that the directory can then recognize. And so now when a user comes to authenticate using that device, we can use the certificate that Intune has registered the user, that device with, as well as the user's credentials. And that gives you a far higher level of assurance, kind of the equivalent level of assurance of having a smart card where you know that that user is in fact using a device that's theirs and with a cert on it that you provided them. But there's no, obviously each of these platforms is slightly different in terms of the capabilities they expose. So, it's just a question of which API set they make available for Intune to manage the device. All of them, however, support this certificate-based authentication, so we use that everywhere.
And I think this question was really targeted specifically at the work that we're doing with identity management in this webcast. And the work that we talked about in terms of this layer of protection with identity and being able to identify these attacks, that's applicable on all the different operating systems. There's nothing specific to Windows 10. You know, this is all work that we're collecting telemetry on the back end as users authenticate and as they use our services. Now, I'll tell you, in Windows 10, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming that I think from a security and protection standpoint that are going to be super interesting. And that kind of leads into the next question. I'm just going to go ahead and skip on to the next question here from Peter that talks about, you know, hey, as we think about, the things that we're doing in Intune and how we're able to weave those down into System Center Configuration Manager and then, you know, the investments that we're making in System Center Configuration Manager towards Windows 10, you know, are there going to be updates coming out and ways that, you know, kind of what's that update plan look like? Well, we'll definitely be coming out in the next several weeks with more information about what we're doing specifically with Config Manager. But I'll tell you, as we have been doing all of the work, as we have been testing Windows 10 with Config Manager, we have found very, very few issues. I'm really amazed at just how well the Windows team has done with compatibility and backwards compatibility. In fact, from my vantage point, you know, now 12 years at Microsoft, what I'm seeing with Windows 10 is it's the most compatible with my experience of testing Config Manager and Intune on top of it of any release that I've ever seen. You know, and so we will be releasing updates to Config Manager 2007, 2012, and 2012 R2, and they'll be fairly minor updates that address some minor issues from a compatibility perspective. And then we'll be talking, you know, a little bit later about as Windows 10 is released and we'll need to come out with a more significant update to Config Manager that actually lights up and exposes all the new features of Windows 10. So stay tuned, and we'll be talking more about that over the next little while.
There's another question here about Azure and really the use of public cloud. And it says, what are Microsoft's plans about the cloud and Azure and the strategy in Europe? Customers right now there, a lot of them don't trust cloud providers. How can Microsoft work with some of the providers overseas to help build confidence and find these customers and encourage them to use the cloud?
Yeah, great. I'll go ahead and start here, and Alex, you know, kind of chime in. You know, there's a couple of things that whenever I have conversations with organizations like this, and I think there's a valid reason to be concerned. So the first thing that I would say is, you know, we need to be, as all cloud providers, need to be just as transparent as is humanly possible. be super transparent about what's up in the cloud, what our policies are around encryption, where the keys reside. And so, for example, our chief legal counsel, Brad Smith, has blogged about our perspective on this and how we want to make sure that we encrypt data before it leaves your data centers or your devices. It's encrypted in transit. It's encrypted as it's up in the cloud at rest. And the keys remain in your data centers or remain in your organization and never come up to Microsoft. And if we follow that principle and we follow that engineering design, all the information in transit and rest is secure and protected, which is number one. Number two, you know, we are making investments with the understanding that there are certain places where we have to have a data center for data sovereignty and for regulatory reasons. So, for example, Azure today has 19 different regions where we have data centers. You know, the closest to us in terms of others making investment, Amazon has 6 data centers and regions, and Google has 3. So we're making the appropriate investments where if there are laws, if there are regulations that require data to reside, for example, within a country and never leave that country, or maybe within the European Union, or whatever the case may be, is we're committed to making the investments so that our cloud infrastructure can satisfy those regulatory needs and deliver on that. And then the final piece that I would say is we take a lot of time and investment to make sure that we're certified with all the different certifications and regulatory requirements, and then we publish those. And so if you ever have a question about is service X or cloud platform Y, what's it certified for, just think of the name and then put in Trust Center. So if you want to see what Intune is certified for, go type in your search engine, Trust Center. Thank you, Intune Trust Center. You want to look at Azure Trust Center, Azure Active Directory Trust Center. And if you do that, it'll actually take you to a web page that'll actually show you all the certifications, when that was done, that each of our services and our platform is certified for.
So with all of that in mind then, is there then going to be a lot of heavy lifting for the cert auth stuff that has to happen in order to do all of this?
No, it actually is very, very simple. I'll give you some examples. Like when you bring a device under management with Intune, we automatically do the things that, for example, we automatically download a certificate down to the device that then is associated with a specific tenant. And that certificate is then used as we authenticate the device and also as make sure that it belongs to the appropriate tenant. And so the work that we have to do as both a SaaS provider and as a cloud platform provider is make sure that these things around certifications, around keys, is just as simple and as transparent as possible. And we all know that if you go back and take a look at the last 10 or 15 years, it's been anything but that. And so it's all built into the solution. I'll give you another example. With StorSimple is a solution that we have that basically gives you a cloud platform as another tier of storage for your data centers. All the certificate management for the encryption of all the content that goes up to the cloud is automated. There's nothing a user has to do. It's all a part of the process.
So you mentioned before, Brad, that a lot of the attacks that are happening to these and to infrastructure are getting more and more sophisticated, that these are things that are elements of them can be state-sponsored, elements of them can be coming from organized crime. So how rapidly can this system help you take action when there is a new threat or a new kind of attack that's making the rounds out there?
Yeah, what a question. What a great question. I'll tell you, one of the most fun things I've ever done in my career was building the anti-malware solution for Microsoft over the last 7 or 8 years. And the reason I say that, this world of malware and anti-malware is about as close to hand-to-hand combat as you can get. It's remarkable how fast it comes up. And to give you an idea, you know, there can be days when we'll see, you know, upwards of 1 million new pieces of malware appear. And so the way that we kind of think about it is we want to fight people with machines, and we want to fight machines with machines. And so this is where we're doing so much work around machine learning and leveraging the really infinite capacity that we have inside of Azure to give us the kind of capacity, compute capacity, storage for all the data and telemetry we're collecting. And that's what is really enabling us to have this kind of value. And honestly, these kind of things, you know, theoretically they could be possible on premises, but the investments that every organization would have to make in order to have that kind of capacity is just prohibitive. And so it's such a wonderful example of how cloud and that infinite, or close to infinite amount of capacity and storage that the cloud enables us to deliver this kind of value we just have never been able to do before, only dreamed of in the past.
So with that in mind, I think a natural question at this point is, with that kind of functionality, with those kind of features there, do your competitors have similar capabilities in running reports and using machine learning and doing all the things to spot detect so early on?
Yeah, that's a great question for you.
Yeah, the answer is clearly no. We have the luxury and the kind of the unique opportunity as Microsoft, because we run so many large cloud services, the amount of data that we have visibility into and that we can collect, essentially different streams and different signal that we can then pump into our machine learning systems. There's really nobody else in the world who can do that at the scale that we do it and use it across a consumer and enterprise offer. So we have a really unique offer there. And not only is it things like all of the logins to Microsoft account and all of the infected machines that we uncover in Defender and all of the botnets that our TWC team uncovers, it's also things like all of the attempts to log into Office 365 and a whole bunch of other sources that we purchase online. And we bring all of that data into our machine learning mart. It's literally billions and billions of data points a day. And we can use the algorithms that we have then across that giant data set to really spot attacks and unusual behavior in a way that nobody else can do.
Now, Alex and I made this point in the video. In the world that we live in right now, perhaps the most valuable asset that every organization has is all the data that's being created as people use their services, they use their websites, do orders. There's so much data there that when appropriately used can give insights that allow you to delight your customer, better service your customer. And so it's just such an area of interest for us. And to kind of give you an idea, to build on what Alex was saying, you know, we get telemetry back from over a billion PCs every month in our anti-malware efforts. And so we're able to see things so quickly, so early, and we have so much data that comes in that we can then feed into this machine learning engine that we have data that nobody else in the industry has. And just to even make that point even more, some of this data is only available as users authenticate against Azure Active Directory. And if you think about it, Active Directory has been the authoritative source for enterprise identities for the last, 13, 14, 15 years. And that rapidly is moving to Azure Active Directory, or extending to Azure Active Directory is the better way to say it. That, all of that telemetry, every authentication, the location, the time, that is actually information or data that is unique to Microsoft. Microsoft has that data because we operate the cloud service called Azure Active Directory. And so it gives us a view into data that nobody else in the industry has.
So there's another question here that really touches on that element that I think a lot of people in the IT profession will understand, which is that sometimes you just don't know the things that you don't know. And in the video, both of you guys talked about the discovery element of things regarding the cloud app discovery tool, about what SaaS products are getting used. So does, and Alex, I guess this is directed at you, does Microsoft conduct that discovery, or is a partner doing it?
Well, that discovery is actually a self-service tool, so certainly a customer could decide to have a partner do that for them. And in some cases, Microsoft account teams have helped partners do it as well. However, it's designed to completely be self-service. There's no need to get a partner involved. And if you can deploy an app package out to a desktop, you can get that service up and running yourself, no problem. It literally takes minutes. And within 4 hours, you start getting data flowing in and showing you what all the different apps that your employees are using on their desktops.
And then the IP in terms of the discovery itself, that's all Microsoft IP that we've built. That's not a partner IP. I don't know if that was what the question was as well.
Correct.
Now here's another one for you, Alex. Would you classify Azure Active Directory Premium as just some infrastructure access management?
Or identity access management.
Yeah, identity access management, that's right.
Would I classify it as only that?
I think the question, Alex, is how would you categorize Azure Active Directory Premium? What kind of market segment would you put it in?
Oh, well, that's a challenging question. The world is changing pretty quickly. On-premise, we had all these separate, disparate categories. You had like directories, and you had internet, you had identity management systems, and you had connectors, and you had your standalone MDM, and you had your rights management and your DLP and all that. I think in the cloud, those things are rapidly merging, right? Like when I talk to customers, they're no longer talking to us about, hey, I need an IAM solution. They're talking to us about, look, I need an end-to-end solution that does identity management, that does directory stuff, that does device management, that does security, that does data protection, that does authentication, that does app proxy. Like they're looking for a complete solution to this set of modern scenarios, rather than in the old world on-premise of kind of having to stitch together individual server applications and client applications to get them to work together. So there are definitely some pieces of Azure Active Directory Premium which provide the kind of functionality that an identity and access management service used to, but it also provides things like a directory service, and it provides things like a security monitoring service, and it provides two-factor authentication, and a library of 2,400 pre-integrated apps. And those are all things that traditionally on-premise, you know, you would have thought of as separate application categories.
So Brad, why is it that the Enterprise Mobility Suite is currently not available for smaller businesses? Aren't a lot of small businesses even more in need of this than maybe some of their larger counterparts?
Yeah, I think Neil was asking that question. It's a great question. So the Enterprise Mobility Suite today is only available through one of our pricing constructs, which is an add-on to the enterprise agreement. And it's actually very similar to kind of the model that Office 365 followed early on. Boy, we hear you. We're gonna get it into the other packaging and pricing programs soon. And it's really interesting. We definitely are getting an incredible amount of interest, and we will address that. In the interim, what I would encourage you to think about, Neil, is you could actually go up, for example, to for example, the Intune service, and you can actually just put your credit card in and start taking advantage of that today. We've got many, many, many customers who are just doing that. In fact, one of the things that's super interesting is of all of the organizations that have come up and just, you know, put a credit card in, if you will, to buy the service, we actually see over 85% of all of those licenses in production being used right now, which is just fabulous. We love to see that kind of usage. But great question, and we're getting that work through all of our systems here right now.
Yep.
And
yeah,
Alex,
I should point out that
the functionality.
I was going to point out that in addition, Azure AD Premium is available for purchase in the Office 365 portal as well. So that's a great way for small businesses to get to it. And you'll see us add the whole EMS suite there and in other places soon.
So, Brad, how would someone integrate their existing security logs or firewalls with the machine learning that Microsoft can offer?
Another great question. You know, I was just actually just meeting with a room full of ISVs that develop education software just immediately before this webcast. And it was actually a very, very similar question they were talking about. Tell us about some of the innovations that Microsoft has done to help us with all the logs and the analysis. And so the way I think about it is I think there's kind of two sets of innovations. There's an innovation on the back end, there's an innovation on the front end. So on the back end, I am just incredibly impressed with the work that the team has done in Azure to basically make machine learning approachable for anybody. You know, the industry has talked about machine learning for years and years, but the reality is if you weren't a data scientist, you really weren't able to actually, you know, get the technical work done to actually take advantage of machine learning. We've hired a lot of the industry's premier, you know, ML engineers, and they have right now, you know, and Satya tweeted on this a couple of months ago, we have a machine learning service inside of Azure that makes it approachable for anybody that's technical. And so you no longer have to be a data scientist in order to be able to take advantage of the assets that machine learning can bring to the company. So first of all, on the back end, you know, we've got a Hadoop implementation up there. We have a solution we call HD Insights that's your big data place you can bring all the data to. The machine learning service reasons on top of that. And then down at the actual end user, whether that be, you know, an administrator or whether that be, you know, a line of business or actually a business owner, we've done all this work through what we call Power BI. And I really encourage you to go to powerbi.com. Satya tweeted on this last week. We just released a significant update to the Power BI capabilities. And what Power BI allows you to do, you know, if you've followed any keynotes from Microsoft over the last couple of years, you've seen us demoing this, but it allows you to then have a very simple, intuitive, rich self-service experience to wallow in that data, get different views, and actually be able to learn from all the data you have in addition to the machine learning. So machine learning innovation on the back end in Azure, and then innovations on the app side of the user interface through Power BI. And those are the two things I would look at.
All right, I think we have time for a couple more questions here. And I saw one of them pop up here, Brad, that asked about, let me see if I can find it again. It had to do, actually, Alex, this one was directed toward you, and I wanted to know if any of the functionality of Forefront Identity Manager was going to get included in Azure Active Directory.
So it's a great question. That is absolutely our plan, and what you'll see is more and more of the capabilities of what was Forefront Identity Manager and will be Microsoft Identity Manager get added into Azure Active Directory Premium. So today, for instance, we already do password self-service password reset and group management in Azure AD, and those are features that traditionally you would have purchased FIM for. And you'll just see us continue to add more and more of that kind of identity management functionality into the overall Azure AD Premium suite.
I want to take the question here that just came up about the EMM roadmap. Can you go back to that question there real quickly? Yeah, so the question, is there an EMM roadmap? One of the things that we just published literally, I think it was yesterday or today, is we now have a set of pages that's called the Cloud Platform Roadmap. And so I think if you just go and type in, you'll go to Microsoft.cloud, is it Cloud Roadmap there? Is that what it is? Just do a search for Microsoft Cloud Platform Roadmap. There now is a website. I'm looking at it right now. And what it shows you is you can click on any one of our cloud services. You can click on our Cloud Platform Azure, and it'll give you a breakout in terms of four categories. Things that were just recently available, so things that we just made available in the last couple of months. So, for example, if you go click on Intune or Azure Active Directory Premium, it'll show you what capabilities have been lit up in the services in the last few months. It then shows you what's in public preview. So it's the capabilities that we have, for example, in our pre-production service that we're in preview with. It shows you what's in development, so things that we've talked about publicly that are in development that we don't have in preview yet. And then it has capabilities that we've canceled. So maybe we had talked about a set of capabilities and we've learned that, for some reason it wasn't needed as much as we wanted it to. So you get four categories of data: recently available, public preview, in development, and canceled. And it literally is just on that web page. And we're sitting here looking at it, and it literally is, if you go to aka.ms/cloud-platform-roadmap, again, let me just say that, aka.ms/cloud-platform-roadmap, that will give you that all-up view, and we're constantly updating that. We have a process here where all the engineering teams sign off on a regular basis on all four of those categories. Great, great asset. So happy we've done this.
Well, I think that's a really strong place to end. So thanks again to everyone for attending today's event. You can register for the final webcast in this series where we really expand upon this topic of identity and security by going to aka.ms/EMM webcasts. And we'll look forward to talking to you on March 3rd.